from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour, 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. If you're tuned in for the first time, or if you're used to the other station we were on prior to this, text line number has changed, so you want to reset the number in your phone. Go ahead and save 913-586-7965.
To text or to call the show.
That's right.
We'll give you a chance to call the show later. That's right.
In the noon hour.
Call the show later at 913-586-7965. You'll notice some of our social media handles have changed as well, but you can find us in the same spots. Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook for the live stream as well.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going to join us at 12:30. We'll talk a little bit more about how big yesterday's win was against the Twins and see where he is at on the next couple of weeks ahead. A few weeks ago, he mentioned the stretch. Well, they're in the heart of that stretch of really tough competition, so we'll talk to Vern a little bit later on, perhaps in studio, as Drew mentioned to us in the 10 o'clock hour. But I want to talk some Chiefs football, because bigger picture, we know the Chiefs are in the middle of a dynasty. They are now chasing, can they be one of the best dynasties in sports history? That's what's at stake. You get to a three-peat, we all know that. That puts them in elite company. Nobody's done that in the NFL. But in sports company, it puts a small group. There's one part of the dynasty that I don't think we talk about enough. We mentioned the division titles.
That's common, yeah.
And chasing the Patriots for that. But there was one other thing that I noticed the Chiefs have a chance to do over the next couple of years, and that is the consistency of making the playoffs. Of course they're making the playoffs. This year they have an implied probability of 84%.
That's it?
To make it. Yeah, that's funny.
Seems low.
And that's your reaction. I think it's a lot of people's reaction. Like, wait.
You sure it's not 99.99%?
Because it feels like it should be, but it's not. It's technically 84%. The Chiefs have gone to 9 straight postseasons. They are tied right now with the Colts from 02 to 10, the Peyton Manning days, and the Cowboys from 75 to 83. The Patriots, much like their division streak, 11 straight postseason appearances. So the Chiefs are 2 away from what, the divisional streak? They're 2 away from the most consecutive playoff appearances, and they're a Super Bowl title away from making a three-peat this year. That has never happened. So if you want to talk about the Chiefs being the greatest dynasty in the NFL or sports history, this is another layer to that. How many consecutive postseasons can they get to? Brady, they only went to 11. I say only went to 11. It feels like the Chiefs are going to pass that, doesn't it?
It does. But the reason why I think it doesn't stand out necessarily is it would have been way more than that for the Patriots. The only reason they missed is when Tom Brady had Bernard Pollard go into his knee. They went 5 more times consecutive before that. So they were damn close to 17 consecutive playoff appearances. What stands out to me is they're probably going to wreck it, because they got to stack some up in the Alex Smith years, and now they get the entire Patrick Mahomes career. So presuming health, which I can in Patrick Mahomes' case at the moment, assuming he stays healthy, they'll destroy this record. For the same reasons Tom Brady would have put 16-17 on the board. If Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, there will not be a year, if he is healthy, that they miss the postseason. They will make the playoffs every single year he's the quarterback. They have had seasons in which you could legitimately question how good of a team they were, and they won the Super Bowl in some of those years. They're not going to miss the postseason. That's never even been a threat. They've occasionally threatened to not win their division somewhat late in the year. They have never once ever been a consideration for not making the postseason. I think the next one, so the division, they're two off from that. And the next one I want to see them cross even before they, around the same time they can do it. They are two away from the most consecutive conference title game appearances too. Patriots hold that record as well, not surprising, at eight. Eight consecutive AFC title game appearances. The Chiefs are already at six.
All these are going to get broken in 2 years, potentially.
Yeah.
And so whether it's the three-peat this year or they come up short, but then they're right back there next, you know, the following year, the next 2 years will have a strong shift in the, oh no, they are the greatest dynasty in NFL history. They're 2 years
the
away.
The longest dynasty,
yeah,
you know?
Longest, greatest, all, you know, both. You know, and in dynasty terms, I guess just the longevity of it makes you even greater. But if you have a three-peat mixed in, but we're really 2 years away from that being a definitive
probably
answer being Kansas City.
Yes, but that's it. 2 years from now, let's just, they go on to the three-peat. Well, then they're already probably it. They'll be one short of the division record because they just won. I'll just assume they won the division if they just won the Super Bowl. They'll be one short of the conference title game appearance record. They'll have a three-peat. He'll already have four championships, which will put him in one of three quarterbacks of all time, four, because he'll join the group of Montana and Bradshaw, of all time to win that many Super Bowls or more. It'll be done. It'll be a wrap. They'll be the single greatest dynasty of all time. If they win the Super Bowl this year, they have four Super Bowl titles in 6 years, 10 straight division titles, 7 straight AFC title game appearances, 5 Super Bowl appearances in 8 years, 4 Super Bowl wins in 6. I mean, that's kind of all she wrote. I don't know what else. One Super Bowl win buries it all. I'm just convinced it buries it all. Like, even like you said, to actually break the playoff record. What do I think? They're not going to go to the playoffs each of the next 2 years to tie it? Or three to win it? That record's already broken.
If there's not an injury factored in, I mean, what's to say this isn't? I mean, as long as Andy Reid's also part of it, let's say this thing, should get, this thing should get to 13, 12, 13 in a row.
I honestly think it should get to 18 or 19. Like 13 seems like a lock.
I think the question will be at some point in time, whenever that day is, whether it's 3 years from now or 7 years from now.
When Reid's gone,
that'll be the biggest question in the mom's tenure. Of how are things any different? That'll be a big shift because we saw it at the very end with Belichick and Brady. Like that'll be the big question at the end. Hopefully that's a long time from now. And as you said it, you signed a new contract, and despite Mike Florio trying to force the retirement earlier than what it was going to be, this is something that is going to extend for a wide period of time.
The only thing, and yeah, the text line's like, well, let's see. Yeah, it's, and by the way, injury is one injury that would prevent most of these things. Like the playoff appearance, like
everything.
If anybody else on the team went down, Mahomes is still good to the playoffs. Mahomes is still good to the AFC title. Like, I can't tell you how many players they probably lost over a 6 or 7 year time period. If you make a prediction, and you and I do, we all do, every sports show in the country does it. We'll get to ourselves in around August 29th, or I don't care, it'll be September 3rd, the week of the regular season, and we'll make our predictions for who wins the division and who are the final four teams left standing when this thing's all done. And if you are any person who works in media, just want to make a prediction, I don't care if you're in an office pool or doing it for gambling purposes. If you make a prediction for the final four team standing and you do not include the Chiefs, you're an idiot. Or you're just willfully ignorant over what they've been doing historically. They go to the AFC title game. It's who they're playing in the AFC title game is the question you have remaining.
That really is. There's two spots in the AFC title game, but really there's one spot. There's one spot.
Yeah.
Whether you're Cincy or Baltimore or Buffalo or who at Miami, whoever you think is the Texans this year, I guess, you're vying for one spot. And that's not just being arrogant in Kansas City. That's reality, to your point, about what this team has done over the last 8 years, really, in the NFL. That's the reality. And yeah, injuries factor in for every single team in this equation. But if you're predicting, unless you're just trying to be flat out different, unless you're just trying to be like, well, I just want to be different than everybody, and you're going to say, oh, this is going to be the first time in 8 years or whatever the Chiefs don't get there. Fine, I guess. But otherwise, this chance to cement yourself as an all-time sports dynasty. That to me is what I like. Getting greedy now. It's not just about being.
You want him to talk about him like the 90s Bulls.
Yeah, like I want to be sitting here 3 years from now after the Chiefs have hopefully three-peated at very least, won another ring, gone to beat the Patriots division record and all this, but put them in the category of being one of the two or three greatest dynasties in
UCLA
all of
in the
sports. 60s.
Yeah, just the ones that we all mention when and that's the case. 913-586-7965, the new text line and phone line number. If you want to hit us up, I did. It is the first day of us as 96.5 The Fan, as you know.
That's right.
I promised and did write a song.
Is it done?
It's done. Per the listener agreement who bought it for the Cody and Gold Garage Sale, they are allowed to veto my song for the first day of The Fan. Have they gotten back to you about whether or not they'd like to do that? If not, I'd like to start the clock. They got 10 minutes, 15. Oh. I'll give them till the next step. They got 15 minutes to text into the show if they don't want to hear the song I created about us becoming the fan today.
So
a celebration, as you will.
It's already been blocked. Yep.
They already blocked it?
It's been blocked. Not they.
You're being very vague about
that. It's been blocked.
So did the... Okay, I'm going to ask a very specific question because this feels like a lawyer moment. Did the listener who bought the Cody Can't Sing pass... utilize said pass for today?
The listener did not.
So who the hell is blocking it?
It's been blocked. Not by me.
By who?
Not
by you.
Not
either.
By Drew.
And not
I
by
promise.
You.
But it's been blocked. I'll just leave it at that.
It's not blocked. Those are the only people.
Blocked.
There's me, you, Drew, and the listener who has the pass.
Think a little more broadly. It's been blocked.
Okay. I have not been told it's blocked. So who... Someone has to tell me, okay, I made this song 2 days ago, and you're telling me that someone told you not to play it.
It is not being played today.
And me not to play it either.
Okay, so I'm not an idiot.
And I'll be honest, I'm not sad about it.
So, okay, that's rude, first off. I made a song for the celebration of We're the Fan, to give the listeners an expectation of what this show is sometimes. Mm-hmm. It is a celebratory song about our metamorphosis into an FM station. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me, because I'm not an idiot, you're telling me Spec blocked it.
It has been blocked.
You're telling me our boss told you I can't play my song?
That is correct.
He didn't tell me.
It's been said to Drew and I. Blocked.
Okay, I'll make him a deal just the same as I made him. He's got 30 minutes to come on this show and tell me I can't play it? Tell me. Not you, not Drew. He told you apparently too.
Yes,
to
he
tell
did.
One of the two of you I can't play. He has to tell me I can't play it.
Are you making a demand?
And why?
Are you making a demand to our boss?
I'll give him, look, he's busy today because we switched. He's got 60 minutes. He's got 60 minutes, 1 hour to come on this show and tell me why I can't play it.
I don't think he
why
has
he
to.
Why he doesn't want
he
it
has to
be
do
played.
That. It's blocked.
Why?
He says it's blocked and it's
I
blocked.
Made a celebratory song about our switch to the fan.
I haven't heard
Why
the song.
Why wouldn't he want to hear it?
I haven't heard it, but it's blocked.
He's been a fan of the other songs. He doesn't think he thinks it's going to gum up our announcement of being 96.5 The Fan.
I'm just telling you.
It's good for The Fan.
I'm telling you, it's been blocked. And that's final.
He's got 60 minutes where I'm just going to play it. You're going to have to turn off my computer the rest of the show, Drew. I'm just warning you. You're going to have to choose your loyalty. You're going to have to either choose what your boss told you, apparently, but not me.
I'm sorry, but...
not play the song, or me.
Say it, Drew.
Your co-host.
Say it, Drew.
Your partner. Are we enemies?
I hate to be that person.
If you want me to Kendrick Lamar the hell out of you for the next month on this show, I will. But choose wisely about who you're siding with.
Well, I...
60 minutes. It's got 1 hour. 12:13. I'm either playing it or Drew can cut my mic off.
I really hate to tell you this, but your
you can do a live performance. That's the deal.
I hate to tell you, your computer's been cut off right now, actually.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Let me try to play some audio.
You've been blocked, man. You've been blocked.
True. Why?
Blocked.
We're friends. We're partners.
I know.
You can't side with management. Management? You're choosing the man? The boss? Like, I'm not even, this is not an act. I had no idea that this was being blocked by a boss. Nobody said they didn't want the song.
I figured he told
nobody,
you.
Nobody
you
spoke
knew.
Those words into existence.
I figured you knew. That's why the listener does not need to block the song today.
I appreciate working with you so much, Cody, that I'm going to do what I was told to do. And I'm going to make sure that I keep on working with you guys. So I'm going to
How
mute
can
your
I
computer.
Get in trouble for something I didn't know
nobody
I
said,
wasn't allowed
said,
to do?
You're not in trouble.
Nobody's
it's
saying
just,
you're in trouble, but the song is blocked today. You got song blocked today. It's all right.
Can I play it? No. You know, 60 minutes. I'll talk to Spec in the next 60 minutes. That's how much time
I love that you're demanding $60 to give you an explanation.
He has told us before that he gives this show creative freedom to do a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm being told that even I'm not being told. Other people in the show are being told that's not the case. I'm being stopped from doing something I worked on for the station's announcement. That was the big thing I worked on for us being 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in full support of the blocking today.
I don't know why. I don't know why you wouldn't want that.
I'm neutral. I'm doing what I was told.
That's against. No, you're against. Everyone's against me.
Okay.
It's too late. You can't go on the other side.
So we're going to find, I don't know what's going to happen during the next break. Cody's going to storm into the boss's office, I guess, and demand he can play the song. We'll let you know how that goes. It could just be Drew and I the rest of the day. That'd be a weird thing on the first day of the new station.
Get real awkward on 96.5 The Fan.
It is 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 5 minutes or so. But Pat McAfee had Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins on his show, and they were talking about how the season ended and everything. We know how it ended, right? They came to Kansas City. It was brutally cold. The Chiefs kicked their ass, right? The Chiefs were the physical team, and Kansas City started their run through the toughest postseason in NFL history on their way to Vegas for its Super Bowl title to set up a potential three-peat. Listen to what Mike McDaniel said, because I think he's right that the season did not end the way they wanted in the regular season even, but let's not act like the weather was why the Dolphins lost.
I think the overall takeaway is if you don't like your season to be left up to the outcome of a game in that climate, don't have the game be in that climate. Nobody feels sorry for you. We made our own bed, you know? That it wasn't that cold in Miami.
So he's playing both sides of it. He's acknowledging that they didn't do enough to avoid having to go on the road to Kansas City. And that's true. That's fair.
Yeah.
The other part, though, but like, don't even leave it out there that, well, you know, if we would have done our thing. And look, the cold was just a huge, huge factor. It was a factor in the game. But the Chiefs played you, Miami, in a nice, neutral atmosphere in Germany.
Perfectly fine weather.
Indoor. I know the roof was open. It was indoor stadium. And the Chiefs beat you there. And the score at the end was a lot closer than what the game really was. And then if the Chiefs would have lost the next week after beating Miami, I would have been like, wow, they weren't that good of a team, but the weather helped them. The Chiefs went through Buffalo on the road, went through Baltimore on the road, went through San Francisco in the Super Bowl and won. So the weather thing is a joke.
It's now, I will say, I had people try to tell me that the weather's not as big of a factor in that game going into it as we were making it on the radio. It absolutely played a factor. They were trying to turn the indoor practice facility AC on to somehow drive themselves towards, you know, like getting the temperature right. They should have gone into a Chili's deep freezer, apparently, in order to prepare themselves. But a loser's mentality. And the second you start blaming subsequential things, you've already lost to the Chiefs because you've lost the mind game. Same thing happened to Buffalo. Buffalo blamed overtime. Like, oh, we didn't even get the ball. Yeah, so did the Chiefs the year before, and guess what they went out and did? Won the Super Bowl the next year. They just went ahead and did it anyway. Okay, maybe it stopped them the year before. It didn't stop them from accomplishing their goals. They continued to accomplish their goals by going to the postseason and winning Super Bowls and winning important games. Cold is only one game. Two has been your quarterback for multiple years. You've been the coach for multiple years. You got the exact same team with one of the number one receiver crews in the league, number one running games in the league again. Cold has nothing to do with your overall success. Win or go away. But you don't get to complain every time it's a little chilly for playoff football.
No, but everything you laid out there in the last 20 seconds or so, that's why the pressure in Miami on their head coach is immense.
Yeah.
I mean, you tremendous. Go through coaching staff and you see the weapons. You just gave Tyreek Hill a bigger bump in pay. You gave two of the contract. All of these things contribute to the pressure that exists in a tough division. Yes, but we're going to be sitting here. I can almost promise you guys, September and October, the Dolphins offensively and as a team, they're going to look great and unstoppable. Weather is going to be warm. So like there is then later on in the year, they wear out, whether it's weather related or just, hey, that style of play does not last through a 17 game.
They had a lot of injuries on schedule. Defense too last year.
But like that style of play means your defense is on the field a ton more. We know that, right? That you score as quick as they did early on in the year. Well, they put up 50 something on the Broncos.
They were also exposed by good teams the entire year. The story wasn't they can't play in any kind of inclement weather. The story on the Miami Dolphins was they're not beating any good teams consistently at all. They're playing their worst football against good teams, and that was the problem they had because they're limited at quarterback. Their problem is not the cold. Their problem is that Tua is a good quarterback, but he's not one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. Arguably, maybe not one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. And because he's on that fringe, a lot of things have to go right in order for you to win a Super Bowl. And you know what's never going to go right? Patrick Mahomes is never going to not be in your way. Every single time you were a playoff team trying to go to the Super Bowl and win it, you will have to go through Patrick Mahomes. No team is going to have to not do that. Whether it be in the wild card round, the divisional round, the conference title game, it does not matter. At some point, he will be there, and he will be in front of you, and you will have to beat him. And that is a problem that a lot of quarterbacks are going to have a hard time getting past, the whole Mahomes part of it.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to it. This has made the rounds in the last 24 hours because it almost seemed like a fake story, but no, this happened in Detroit. There is video. We're going to play a little bit of this news story of a Detroit judge that handcuffed a teenager in a courtroom. You're like, well, what did it, you know, was a teenager on trial for something? No. Field trip.
Excuse me?
Field trip. Student falls asleep. Judge handcuffs teenager.
Here's Chris Jones get this guy, this person out of jail too.
Here's the story.
I spoke to Judge Kenneth King. He stands by what he did, placing a 16-year-old in handcuffs after she was allegedly misbehaving on a field trip in his courtroom.
One thing you'll learn about my courtroom is that I am not a toy. I'm not to be played with.
What started out as an informational field trip with the Greening of Detroit nonprofit Tuesday to the 36th District Court in front of Judge King.
This is the 36th District Court for the City of Detroit. We do just about everything that happens in the City of Detroit.
Quickly turned into Judge King getting visibly agitated over a sleeping student in his courtroom.
You fall asleep in my courtroom one more time, I'm putting you in the back, understood?
Judge King had her removed from the courtroom, but he told me that didn't fix her, quote, attitude. And that's when he pulled out the jail uniform and handcuffs.
That's not something that normally happens, but I felt compelled to do it because I didn't like the child's attitude.
King says he was trying to teach the teenager a lesson on behavior and respect in court.
I haven't been disrespected like that in a very long time.
He then threatened the girl with jail time.
I'm going to go to sleep tonight while you're sitting in the juvenile detention facility.
Was I really going to do that? Probably not. Could I have? Probably so. But that's not what I want to do to a kid who's there on a field trip.
Okay, this guy's the worst.
So this is a real judge in Detroit. This is not a fake story. A group goes on a field trip to learn about the judicial system. A student, look, falls asleep.
Because
like,
he's,
you know,
a student and
yeah,
that happens sometimes.
It's like, yeah, fine. What are you doing? Why are you falling asleep? Fine, fair. But you were so disrespected that you handcuffed the student and put him in a jail uniform?
I was going to say, this guy shouldn't be a judge anymore. This is ludicrous behavior.
Isn't this a crime? False imprisonment or something?
I think so. I would sue him. I would threaten him with legal action. I would threaten him with the same legal system he just tried to abuse. He just tried to claim that because she was falling asleep on a field trip, he could have had her arrested and put in jail. For what? Disrespect? There's no contempt of court. We're on a field trip. It's also not his job to teach. It's not his job to teach my kid to be respectful. I got that. They're my kid or my student or a million other things. Thanks, Judge. We're just here for the field trip and the bang the gavel thingy. We don't need you arresting students with false imprisonment during the time. That guy's nuts. That's a crazy thing to do.
The group, the nonprofit that was there and representing the student or whatever, said that, of course, she's been traumatized by the whole incident and everything. Because imagine you wake up from a field trip and suddenly you're in handcuffs and you're wearing a jail uniform in the courthouse.
I would just sue. There's no way that's legal.
There's probably
going to
be a
lawsuit.
There's
no way a judge is allowed to just handcuff anybody who's in his courtroom.
If it was a normal court hearing and you were acting out or whatever, maybe. But not a field trip. You know what I mean?
There wasn't like a jury and a judge and a gallery. It's just like, here to see the judge, and he started falling asleep, and you're like, I wanted this to feel very real. This isn't Scared Straight on Maury. You aren't allowed to do this.
He acted like this was a reality TV show. He asked the other kids in the courtroom Tuesday whether the 16-year-old girl should be taken to juvenile detention. I wanted this to look and feel very real to her. He's trying to phrase as he was trying to teach her, obviously, a lesson in all this, but he didn't need to go to that extent.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's doing
that's
too much.
That's crazy.
Way too much.
But you're right. I wouldn't be surprised.
I hope he gets charged with false imprisonment.
We'll see.
I really do. I hope he has to go through the judicial process and show respect to some other judge and explain why he was allowed to do that.
For him to also say, like, could I have done it? Yeah, but I probably wouldn't.
Like, I don't think so.
I don't know. Do you take your? Like, are you? It's like you're not taking the job seriously enough to really to. Why do you feel the need to do this? Yeah.
Does he have any kids? Like when his kids acted out, he put them in handcuffs and put them like, and pretended to take them to jail. This is what he does. Like, I don't know. Does he have kids?
This is definitely the kind of person who like threatens to arrest you for like cutting the grass the wrong way in the neighborhood. He's definitely yeah. also the president of the HOA and is threatened with taking your house away over the wrong colored shutters.
That is the trash of the day, and something tells me we'll get another update on that over the next couple days or weeks ahead. This is Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Kansas City sports. And up next, we're talking Chiefs football. We know Chiefs game starting this preseason game on Saturday, going to be right here on 96.5 The Fan. So let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour and what could happen at the number two cornerback spot.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. First day of the new station, your home for Chiefs football. And Saturday, preseason football right here on FM. First time all sports station with Chiefs football.
Speck has 42 minutes.
Have you tried to talk to him?
No. 42. He has 42 minutes.
You haven't tried to talk to him?
And then I will find a way to play this.
I don't think you're going to be playing it.
42 minutes. Am I still blocked?
He's blocked.
Drew?
No.
Is it still down?
You're blocked.
Can I still not play anything?
No, your computer's on now, I think.
No, it's not. It's still off.
You can turn his computer on for now.
No.
You sure about that?
It was on, but the fact that you said, is it still on? Like, I turned it off.
You turned it off.
Even if you're
counting down to the second, it sounds like, on how long Speck has to...
12:13.
And even if you... Even if you try to play the song, that computer can be shut off in a second. Don't try anything.
We'll try anything. Your computer is on, I promise. It is on.
Hmm. Okay.
Cody's really upset about this. We'll see how the next 40-something minutes go.
He could have come to me. He could have said something. He could have explained his decision. Instead, he went by on my back, and neither of you guys will support me. We're supposed to be.
Well, the boss said they doesn't want the song. You know, before this was said,
you could have fought for this.
I said on the show days ago, a week ago, I said, I don't think it's a great idea. I told you that. So that's why you're not getting my support on this. I said I didn't think it was the greatest idea.
But I made a song for the station.
I know. Well, we'll get back to that a little bit later on, I'm sure. We'll see how this goes. Let's talk
41 minutes.
Some Chiefs football, though, because one story heading into camp when you and I were up in St. Joe watching Chiefs football, we were saying, all right, heading into camp, number two corner, who emerges? Spag spoke at one point, said, hey, we're waiting. We're waiting for a Joshua Williams or a Nazi Johnson or a Jalen Watson to emerge. Fast forward to today, and you still don't have a clear answer. Dave Merritt, Chiefs defensive back coach, was speaking to the media, and he basically said exactly what Spag said 2+ weeks ago, which is that they're still waiting for a single corner number two to emerge to basically take the role and run. And so it's still the same rotation. And on Saturday, I'm guessing in the preseason game, you're going to see the rotation of Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson. Nazi Johnson's been banged up off and on during training camp, unfortunately. I guess it's fine to rotate, but if you listen to the entire 2 minutes or whatever that Dave Merritt was talking, the rotation is about consistency, and it sounds like they don't believe that they're getting enough consistency of not only knowing the call, which is weird for a couple guys that have been on the team
for multiple years, yeah,
just being in the right spot and all that. Like, I don't want to overblow it because they still have a number one corner and Trent McDuffie is going to play inside and outside this year. But the fact that neither of Joshua Williams or Jalen Watson, who have been in this defense for multiple years, has been able to separate themselves is a little surprising.
It's concerning. Surprising is probably not even the way to say it. They are replacing L'Jarius Sneed, a man who bullied wide receivers for an entire 17-game schedule last year and helped them big time in the postseason, even going back to that Miami game we were just talking about, when he was shoving Tyreek Hill to the ground with a million other big plays he made for this team this year. The fact that not a single player has emerged as a guy that they think that they can just line up on the outside is terribly concerning, because it starts to feel like you end up in the quarterback situation in college, which is if you got two, you got none. And if you just don't trust the consistency of them and they rotate out a little bit more than you normally would in corner two, that means you don't really have a situation that you can trust either way. And teams are going to know that. Teams know now that you do not trust your number two corner to play consistently. So for the next 4 weeks, or the first 4 weeks of the season, the only guys they're going to test, they're not going to throw the ball anywhere near Trent McDuffie. And they weren't throwing it to him anyway. So they're definitely not throwing Trent McDuffie's way now. They're going to design their entire wide receiver unit to do nothing but throw it Joshua Williams, throw it Jalen Watson, or throw it Nazi Johnson. It's concerning to me that nobody has emerged. By now, and I understand injuries have slowed it down a little bit, but by now, I would hope one guy would have taken the job.
That's why for the preseason game against the Lions, like normally, you know, how much can you take from the starters playing in a preseason game? But if Joshua Williams or Jalen Watson, one of these guys, whether it's one play, whether it's consistent snaps, like maybe we're having a different conversation a week from now and it becomes more and more evident. Remember, though, training camp's over. Today wrapped it up. So the practices and us being able to really judge it until week one, we're not going to have the same opportunity, where at camp, it's obvious who's running with the ones more consistently. We're not going to really know if someone does emerge now until week one.
No. I don't think it's the coaches playing games and they just don't want the team to know.
No, not for a position like that.
That doesn't really get you anywhere. And it certainly doesn't get you anywhere, position, you know, cornerback two or anything like that. I just don't think they trust it. And for the first time, it might have caught up with them a little bit. I think what they had hoped was Joseph would have been a nice little, like, safety net guard tackle thing like they've done in previous years, where here's a guy who's been around a little bit, understands the role a little bit, and we kind of trust him to be in the right spot, and we'll just hand it off to him. But he hasn't been healthy in addition to the other ones. Maybe they thought Nick Jones, like, nobody. They've had 5 names at one point compete for this job, Gold, and have yet to find a way to get a guy at cornerback too. It is the single biggest fear for me going into the season is, are they good enough at the second corner spot in order to do it? I guess we could make the same argument we've made for running back at this point, which is, when teams cut down from 51, is that where you should just add the extra player and let somebody else compete going into the regular season as well? No one says you have to win the job by week one. Maybe there's somebody on a roster that's a little deeper on corner. maybe you want to take a look at instead of these guys.
Maybe. I just find it hard to believe that someone gets cut from another team and is just immediately better than the guys that have been in the system, though, for the number two corner job. Now, further down the depth chart, happens all the time. But the number two spot, I would be pretty surprised if another team at a position like corner would cut someone that then we would look at and say, oh, they're already have.
It just depends on how little they think of the number two corner spot.
Yeah,
those guys are capable corners.
I think they'd rather just rotate at that point, just which is what they're going to have to do right now. Rotate in, and then eventually, as the season goes on, see who. Maybe it just takes longer. Maybe throughout camp, you wanted someone to take a grasp of the number two job. It might be something that takes. Maybe someone plays great against the Baltimore Ravens or against Jamar Chase or T. Higgins at the matchup they're going to get.
Do you, I guess, by that approach, the rotation in, do you just play hot hand then? So if Jalen Watson is balling out against Baltimore, he just doesn't come out. Sorry, Joshua Williams. Sorry, everyone else. Jalen Watson is doing his thing today, and we're going to leave him in, and he gets the job until, you know, like...
Then it would be his job at that point. That's how you take a stranglehold on the job.
Like, the second he makes... Like, when we were kids, and I'm assuming everybody did this way, everyone wants to play quarterback, and you're playing backyard football. And the way we used to do it was quarterback till you screw up.
Right.
You throw an incompletion, you throw a bad pass, you throw a pick, you're out of the rotation, go line up at wide receiver. It's quarterback until you screw up. So if he's in the Ravens game and he blows a coverage and someone blows by him, in comes Joshua Williams until he screws up?
Well, I don't know if they make it on one play. Like, I don't know if a coach makes that drastic of a decision where one play you line up improperly and you're just done for the game. I don't think that's
you're done until the next two guys screw up.
I don't think it's that. They just haven't had somebody emerge the way that they would have liked. And it is, I would have thought by now, my guess was always that Joshua Williams had the best case going into camp to be the number two corner next to Trent McDuffie. And it just doesn't seem like that has happened. The other thing that stood out from some of the coaches speaking at camp was Dave Tobe mentioned that they likely are going to scale back Xavier Worthy on punt returns. And this stems from Hollywood Brown's injury, because we know Brown and Worthy would run similar routes. If Brown misses multiple games, Worthy would be one of the guys, certainly on the deep patterns, that could fill in. So they want to make sure they're protecting that, not to lose that entirety. This stinks. I get the logic. It stinks because I really thought he could be a game changer and can be a game changer in the punt return game. And that means Mecole Hardman now is going to be the punt returner potentially, which also solidifies his roster spot if we're looking at the depth chart. If you were still questioning Mecole Hardman's role, well, if he's a punt returner, then that's even more value for him. I just hate this because I thought Worthy in his rookie season, if he was not going to have as big of receiving numbers, I thought he would be a guy that could take one back this season for this team on a punt return. And at least until Hollywood Brown gets back, it seems like that's probably not going to be the case.
I think this is difficult because I have to weigh long-term success versus individual success versus short season success, because as it sits right now, Hollywood Brown isn't a long-term injury. So I lean towards just let Worthy do it. If he's going to do it the second Hollywood Brown comes back, 4 more weeks of punt return duty shouldn't really put him in that much more of harm's way, and I think he's the best man for the job. He's the most athletic. He's your long-term option there, at least in the short term. And they let Tyreek Hill return kicks for years even after he had become the number one wide receiver. It took a couple of years into the league before they're like, okay, enough of Tyreek Hill kicking punt returns. We'll just call on him when we desperately need it.
Well, I think they
acknowledged. When it's go time. Why not get Worthy in there in the early going if it's only a few week injury for Hollywood Brown? If it were half a season, a full season, fine, I probably don't risk it. But a couple of weeks, I'll probably risk it.
Look, I think they've acknowledged that Xavier Worthy is their most talented returner. He was going to be the number one punt returner. That's not, you know, he's not losing the job because he's not been performing well. It's strictly because of the health.
I know, what I'm saying. Like, I think I just risk it.
Right, but I'm surprised at your take, though, on this, because when we've all talked about getting more playing time for Worthy early on, and you know, no, they need to do that, and he needs to be ready week one and not wait till week seven like they did for Rashee Rice, all that. The reason why I'm surprised by the take is you could look at this as a positive. The other reason on top of Hollywood Brown being hurt is they are planning on using him more early on in the season, right? So, you know, that's a good thing if that's the case.
If that's the reason why they don't use him, because they're planning on using him more and more as a wide receiver, I'm all for it. I'm just saying I think he could do both. In the short term, I don't know any reason why he couldn't do 50% of the wide receiver snaps and also return kicks. They've had players do that before. I think what they're trying to protect is their wide receiver depth, and they don't want to suffer another injury knowing that Hollywood Brown is already on the shelf. I think it's a relatively low risk proposition because the second Hollywood Brown comes back, I'm assuming they're going to rein the snaps back in. It'll be like FAU last year. Last year, Felix Anudike Uzama got some extra snaps weeks 1, 2, 3, 4 because Chris Jones wasn't there week one and Charles Omenihue was coming back from the suspension. And then when he came back, they just reined it all in. And if you're just going to pull the rug out on Xavier Worthy after letting him play a few extra snaps,
depends how
week 1, 2, and 3, I'd like him to go ahead and do the punt returning duties. I'd like him to do both.
Yeah, I just think it just depends how he performs. I mean, let's be honest. If Felix Anudike Uzama last year in the developmental season, if he would have come out in week 2, 3, 4, or whatever, was getting snaps and was amazing, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have just cut his snaps back. If Worthy in the first 2 or 3 weeks is getting more time because Brown is out, if in fact that happens, and he looks the part and he's making big plays,
yeah,
then they're not just going to be like, well, we don't need you anymore. Of course they're going to continue to keep his snaps up. So I think I get the Felix
but
comparison.
They did that with Felix. Like, that does happen sometimes.
Right, but you would have to admit, Felix, number one, different scenario because they acknowledged he was in a developmental year last year. He's also younger than Xavier Worthy, but if Felix would have come out of the gate last year and would have surprised
like every sack,
then they wouldn't. I mean, he would not have been getting outsnapped by Turk Warden and these other guys the way he ended up getting outsnapped.
Sure, but if Xavier Worthy just has like 3 catches for 33 yards for the first 4 games, I wouldn't mind that development to continue. But something tells me they'll pull the rug. They'll rein it in because that's typically been what they've done on those situations. I'm saying you can do both. I definitely want him to get as many wide receiver snaps as he can.
Yeah.
I just also want him returning punts because I've seen that work with other players for them. But it does kind of stink that that might be the thing that gets held back. And then we just get kind of like, you know, McColl punt return.
We kind of know what to expect.
And McColl's a perfectly fine punt returner. He's not going to screw things up for the most part. He does the job. He does it pretty effectively. He's capable of breaking one every once in a while. Worthy's the more electric, exciting player in that situation. I understand they're kind of stuck in no man's land, but it's also like, it's not like they don't have other wide receivers. Matt Nagy, too, yesterday was gushing about Justin Watson and the way he can step up. And Mahomes was like, yeah, we trust him. Like, everyone has already pretty much said, in the time that Hollywood Brown is down, Justin Watson's going to run all his routes. So Xavier's role doesn't really change from a route perspective. You shouldn't hypothetically need to use him way more. So why not just get him in the punt return game, too? Safety net, I get it.
But yeah, they don't want to have the depth tested even more if you were to get her on a punt return, and then now you're down Worthy and Hollywood Brown the first 2 weeks of the season. Then your deep threat is only Justin Watson at that point, and that's not great.
That's where they were last year.
MVS
was technically a deep threat. Yeah. He couldn't catch it. He was open.
It's very difficult to play wide. I don't know much about the NFL from a wide receiver and how to play the position. I do know this. If you can't catch, it's probably tough to play the position, you know?
Like, can't catch at all?
Seems like it might be a little tough.
Thinking about that, it was just amazing.
It was not incredible.
It was not incredible.
No, it was depressing and awful and miserable for Chiefs
fans. It was incredibly bad how horrendous they could just... It was every
the Eagles. The Eagles won.
It wasn't even like it was once a month. It was every game. It was literally every game. Something happened.
Yep.
It's really bad. By the way, Coach Reed said Jalen Watson doesn't expect him to play in the game this weekend.
So even worse.
He can't even win the job, you know?
So I was going to say that opens up things a little bit more for Joshua Williams or somebody else.
It's been open for him all camp.
He's had
all camp to win the job.
I mean, reps-wise. Not like you're splitting time. It's like, hey, this is Joshua Williams could legitimately claim the job this weekend if he plays good enough.
He could. I mean, he had the leg up going to the camp. I think he has a little more length than, you know, what they have had at that position. I think from an athleticism standpoint, deep down they would like Nazi Johnson if he could stay healthy to actually win the job, but he also hasn't been able to stay healthy.
In case you just tuned in, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you on the new 96.5 The Fan. New phone number, 913-586-7965. Works for both text and phone calls. And Speck has 26 minutes. I've called out our boss.
Oh my God.
I would like an explanation for why he won't, apparently.
I was hoping.
Tell me why I can't play a song. He's got 26 minutes. I was not going to handle this like a professional.
I was hoping to have the same co-host for 96.5 The Fan as I did when it was on 610. And you're really going to test the limits
today. I'm going to test that theory.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out how much he likes you and I as a show together. He could have told me to my face.
Right,
he went behind my back to you, too. He turned you against me.
He didn't go behind your back. He just said yesterday.
You weren't there yet. You had already
left.
You were not there. It was just Alex and I who were still here.
And he told you together or separately?
Separately.
Did we or did we not sit in a meeting on Tuesday for 40 minutes together?
He didn't know you were planning. He didn't know you were planning on a song.
I had already been recording it.
He didn't.
I don't know if you really knew that you had it done. Kind of a busy week.
I don't know if you know. We launched a brand new station this week. I don't know if you're aware.
I am aware. It started today?
It did start today. So we'll see. The song eventually will get played, just not today, man. Just not today.
Works better for me.
Well, unless it is blocked by the listener as well.
They can't block it for a day.
The listener got back to me today and said, wait, so I don't have to use my block pass.
So he was going to use it? Everyone's against me.
No, hang on.
He said he was going to use the pass today, but he doesn't need to use it because the boss already blocked it.
Is the rule that the song can't be played that day, or is if the song is blocked, then that song can't get played, period?
I thought it was that day. I don't think it was ever
I think it's for the day.
That song never gets aired.
I think it's for the day. All right. I think it's
that was not my understanding. Now, I didn't put the item up, so I can't say for sure. Alex, will you be having tryouts for your new co-host position, asking for a friend?
We'll see how the next 25 minutes goes.
I didn't have that long anymore.
In about 20 minutes or so, we are going to talk more about the stadium conversation. There was an update yesterday on where the Royals in particular could be looking to play downtown baseball. Yes, downtown, but a different site. We'll take your calls on that as well coming up in the noon hour, 913-586-7965. If you like the new location and the idea, the mayor is going to be on with CDOT this afternoon, but that he would like to perhaps not have a public vote. So we'll get back to that in just a little bit. But it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. If you're tuning in for the show for the first time, from 11:30 to noon, we like to make it all Chiefs here on the show. And injury front-wise, at the end of the show yesterday, we were mentioning the latest injury with Juwan Taylor. It turns out it looks like they avoided something that could have been long-term. Multiple reports, Adam Schefter and others right after practice suggested that the shoulder injury for Juwan Taylor, they're not, quote, overly concerned. Now,
that doesn't mean not concerned.
He's not out for the season.
No.
Could he be out for the rest of
practice today?
Out for the rest of preseason, questionable for week one. All that we don't know the answer to, but it's pretty obvious. The depth on the O-line, when you already have a rookie going to be starting at left tackle in Kingsley Suamataia, your right tackle, you can't afford that player to miss some time.
Your first backup tackle is also not practicing right now. It should be terrifying for Chiefs fans. Maybe just because flashbacks and a million other things that went wrong a million years ago before two more Super Bowl titles and whatnot. But every team in the NFL understands one fundamental thing. You better have at least mediocre offensive line play or you're screwed. And as of right now, the right tackle's not practicing. Their backup left tackle's not practicing. They are one injury away from being absent. They're already kind of hurt. They're one injury away from being decimated. Hell, Joe Tooney's barely practicing. Like, he just got back on the field. So you're down to two healthy offensive linemen and a rookie? So I got Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey still cruising along, and I got Kingsley Suamataia healthy, fingers crossed, knock on wood, and doing okay still. But to have three other offensive linemen banged up right now, you got Niang playing right tackle at practice all day? It does worry me a little.
Yeah, I think Tooney's fine, though. I mean, the pec injury was last year. They purposely, knowing his experience, they didn't need him for training camp. And so I think now that he's actually back at practice, I think by the time we get to week one, Joe Tooney won't be even a problem whatsoever about injury. It's now really the question of a rookie at left tackle in Kingsley, and then now right tackle. What's the health of your right tackle? And Juwan Taylor, who struggled the first nine weeks last year.
He did. And so now he's hurt? Here's the part about the injury that we never discuss, and we always figure with Travis Kelce. Okay, let's say he plays week one. Is he good? He struggled last year. Now he has a shoulder problem. And I don't know a lot, like we said, about football, according to the text line occasionally. But I'm pretty sure you need your shoulder to feel good, to play effective offensive line. Seems like an important joint in order to play that job well.
If they don't feel he's effective while being maybe potentially hurt, if in fact that's what, then they'll start Lucas Niang.
No, but if they think 85% is still better than 100% of Lucas Niang, that's still a downgrade.
Sure, but
Lucas Niang's a downgrade. The level of play goes down if Juwan Taylor is either limited because of the injury or not on the field because of the injury. So it does bring up some questions about where they are.
Right, and we don't know if he's...
They just said not overly concerned, which is pretty vague.
We don't know much more than that. I'm sure he's not playing on Saturday. Okay.
Andy did say he would not play too.
Yeah, of course he's not playing on Saturday.
I wouldn't.
There's no reason to.
But the starters are going to play for a half. So, I mean, you get into a whole nother part where you'd like to keep Mahomes. Now, I don't think they're actually playing for a half. I think they'll play for like a quarter. But you'd like to make sure that Patrick Mahomes stays all upright for the portion of that. So now you're already risking Mahomes a little bit more because of the injuries. Now, it's not that I think Niang can't play right tackle for part of a preseason game. But he was the backup swing tackle. Normally, this would be Wanye's time to step up. Niang is the third option at backup tackle.
But see, I don't think he is anymore. I think it's been pretty evident at camp.
He's the backup right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been evident. There's been no real competition at left tackle. That has been Kingsley from day one, clearly. So they're not even, when they've brought up, Andy Heck has brought up yesterday, he was speaking to the media, the competition, it is a Wanye Morris-Niang swing tackle competition. As in, yeah, who's going to be the backup to a Juwan Taylor or Kingsley? That's more of the question. And right now we have the answer that at this point in time, Niang might, at least at right tackle, is winning that opportunity if he has to start. So Wanye is going to be vital to this team, yes, because he can play multiple spots, but he's not next man up right now.
In regards to Kingsley, that is the best news that you could have heard. Like that was the one of the conversations, is how deep does the tackle spot go? Do you give it to Wanye? Do you give it to Kingsley if they're still tied through? The fact that Kingsley's gotten all of this,
yeah, that's never been a question.
The best news, I think, that you can hear.
It was the first time Andy Heck finally talked, because they got some of the position coaches to get him like once during camp. Very complex. He's like, it's been pretty nice that he's just been able to do this, right? It's been pretty nice. He's just been able to be good.
The athleticism has stood out quite a bit. You know, they said they're still working on some, you know, some base. He's not going to be perfect. We all know that. There's going to be plenty of times, week one or wherever, where you're going to tell that Kingsley is a rookie. That's going to happen. But long term, this is still a huge positive for this organization. If they found someone that could be the left tackle on a rookie contract for 3-4 years, you talk about being in the dynasty and all that and not having to worry about why you're already paying a good amount of money on right tackle. That's why you draft Kingsley where you drafted him. You're hoping, of course, you found a long-term answer at that tackle, and it makes your life so much easier. Nobody's saying he has to be a top five tackle in his career, but if he can build off of this year, whatever level of play, let's say an average play this year, but if he can build on that and
4 or 5 years of league average play.
Yeah, or next year he improves, and so he's above average next year. Like, you'll take that. Donovan Smith last year gave you average, at times above average, but average for the most part, I would say. 90% of it was average play.
They won the Super Bowl still.
So yeah. You'll take average
because
on a rookie
deal. Elite level left guard, center, and right guard
play. And that still should be the case this year.
Yeah, nothing's changed in that regard, assuming that, and I have no doubts about Joe Tooney.
96.5 The Fan, your new home for Kansas City sports. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Up next, we get to what's trending and what the new location could be for the Royals Stadium.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.